Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. A special edition of the movie reviews. Not only are we going to talk about the movies in the box office, but we will also discuss the Academy Awards. I took Monday morning off, so it's a Tuesday morning, special Tuesday morning edition. Colin Suter can't join us this morning, but Eric Childress is with us, and we are going to talk about the box office and some of the new movies, and then actually discuss the Oscars as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. It's the Tuesday morning movie reviews because I took yesterday off. And let's welcome Eric to the show. Hello, Eric.
Hello.
How are you, man?
Okay.
All right, good. All right, let's talk about the Oscars first, then we can get to the box office and talk about a couple of the new movies. What did you think overall of the Academy Awards?
I actually enjoyed it. Yeah. I thought Neil Patrick Harris did a really terrific job with it. I know he's getting some criticism today, but I think everyone gets criticism the day after they do the Oscars. So it seems like it's kind of a no-win proposition for whoever's up there.
Yeah.
But, the jokes that he was doing, and he was actually doing jokes that actually sort of was commenting on some of the controversies that were involved with this year's Oscars, and doing so in a way that didn't make him seem sort of smarmy or like he was just trying to be edgy kind of thing. Like, there was almost like sort of a wonderful casualness to his edginess that I kind of appreciated. Mm-hmm. I thought the opening number was great. I liked how there was more of the host this year. It seemed like in a couple of years past, they come out, they do the introduction, they'd introduce a couple of people, and then they'd be gone for like 2 hours.
Right.
And it seemed like he got to introduce like all the presenters this year, which I thought was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it seemed, I mean, the ceremony to me seemed a little long, as many of them do.
Yeah,
but I thought he did a good job. I thought he was a good host, and I mean the guy's a pro, and you know, like he's good at he's pretty much good at hosting everything.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
He's one of those guys that I mean, I don't watch the Tonys, so I obviously I've heard he's great.
Yeah.
Doing that show, and I just there was so much that I enjoyed about the show last night. I mean, I don't get angry. I've trained myself not to get angry at the Oscars, especially this year with all the sort of the vitriol that was starting to come out. People were sort of changing their minds and turning on Birdman.
Yeah, can I ask a question here? What is with the hating on Birdman? Was like the day after it wins Best Picture.
Yeah.
Suddenly everybody on social media hates Birdman.
Well, this has been brewing for a while.
It has.
Like through the entire awards season, there's the real snarky people have been coming out making quips that, you know, like Birdman is not as good as we said it was a month ago. You know, like when Birdman first came out, even before I saw it, you couldn't find anyone to say a negative word about that movie.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like an old thing. It's a thing that happens every year with movies. Like people turn on the hype machine very early, and then they have to back themselves off. You know, it's something that really grinds at me. You know, it's just like, you know, figure out what you think of a movie really early on and stick to it. You know, don't be backtracking. Don't, you know, just because you wanted to be out front and say how great a movie was, and then you have to backtrack a star off your review, you know, a couple months later because it's like, well, it's not as good as this other one that I found a month later.
Yeah.
So the Birdman people, there's really a lot of hate for that. And I think when you have a movie like Boyhood, which was, you know, has been a darling all year, and then all of a sudden there was this challenger to it, all of a sudden, you know, you had to be, you know, team Boyhood, team Birdman. And like last year with American Hustle and Wolf of Wall Street, it's like, you know, people, you know, American Hustle was a thing for about a week, and then Wolf of Wall Street started getting screened and like, well, this is the real Scorsese movie.
Yeah.
Though you and I pretty much disagree on that.
Totally.
Yeah.
Completely. But no, I don't understand. I mean, Birdman's a great movie. It's a great movie. And I'm completely happy that it won Best Picture. You know,
yeah, I mean, it was my top of the. It was funny that when I was making everyone started making their like ranking list of the eight Best Picture nominees, I only liked three of them. actually. Like, just fully liked three of them.
Yeah.
Two of them were in my top 10 list, Birdman and Whiplash, and Birdman was my number one. So I was happy last night.
Well, you know, it's funny because I liked four of them. Because, you know, I'm a fan of Grand Budapest Hotel, Boyhood, Birdman, and Whiplash. Those are the three that And Whiplash would have been my choice if I, you know. Whiplash was number two on my list.
Yeah.
After Interstellar.
Certainly did well last night.
It did. Yeah, it did. I mean, it really did well. And you know, winning some awards that I didn't expect it to win. But I just don't understand. I mean, you know, it's just, I don't know, man. Is it hip to hate on things like that? I mean, is that the thing now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because Birdman has, you know, I mean, because we obviously, you know what that movie's about. It's about actors, and it's about, in a way, sort of celebrating Hollywood without really celebrating it.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's like the same thing with, like, Argo a couple of years ago. You know, Argo is a movie that, you know, our friend Sergio Mims kept saying for months, is a film that makes Hollywood look really good. Like, look what Hollywood did to save these people that were over there.
Right.
You know, and Hollywood gets all the credit. You know, Canada gets a little shout out at the end. But,
right,
you know, Hollywood is the one that saves these people. The artist, you know, look at movies that, you know, are about the industry and that makes them look good. And this, in a way, did that, but at the same time was taking shots at them. So it was like, hey, we're a little hip.
Oh.
So people were sort of attaching themselves to that idea, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Birdman is very critical of Hollywood.
It is.
It's very critical of acting.
Yeah.
I just think it's an extraordinary piece of work, and I was glad that it won. I do think there's a true gigantic irony to the fact that it pretty much won everything except Best Actor.
Yeah, and I've been trying. I haven't quite formed. Yeah, right. Exactly. Like none of the actors won. Like none of the actors from that movie won.
Yeah.
And I've been trying. I haven't quite formulated an entire theory. But the thing that's kind of struck me as we've been sort of fearing the Redmayne train has been happening since the SAG Award.
Right.
Basically.
Right.
We've been in fear of that. And I look at like Best Actor, and I haven't gone over the entire list, but I'm wondering if they have some sort of weird prejudice against people winning Best Actor who are primarily known for comedy.
Mm.
You know, I mean, there are people, you know, like people like Robin Williams is one supporting actor and stuff like that. But, you know, think of, you know, Michael Keaton can't win. Bill Murray couldn't win for Lost in Translation.
Yeah.
You know, I'm wondering if there's, you know, you'll say, well, we'll give you the supporting actor because that's what you comedy people do.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can't give someone who's primarily made their living or at least primarily known for doing comedies, a Best Actor award.
That's an interesting theory.
So we'll give it to Redmayne.
Yeah, that's an interesting theory. It's an interesting theory. But I will say this. the role that Eddie Redmayne has in The Theory of Everything is tailor-made to win an Academy Award. You know what I mean?
You know, you and I can sit there in front of a camera and not do anything either.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, I know that there's people say, well, it's how physically challenging he was. Well, he doesn't really have to move.
You know what? I got to tell you, I think he's good in the film. I really do. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good performance. I'm not crazy about the movie, but I think he's really good in it. But I think Keaton is much better in Birdman.
Yeah, it's apples and oranges.
And he carries the movie. The entire movie is rest upon Michael Keaton's shoulders.
It's not even the best British, genius mathematician performance in the category.
No, the other one was Benedict Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch is much better.
Absolutely, I totally agree. All right, well, so here let's look at the winners here for the Academy Awards. You got Birdman won Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Redmayne wins Best Actor.
Supporting
actor went to J.K. Simmons, and if it didn't go to J.K. Simmons, it would have not been pretty.
Yeah,
and he gave a great speech too. Call Your Parents.
Yeah, class. What a class act.
You got to love that guy.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Actress in a leading role went to Julianne Moore. No surprise there.
No.
Supporting actress, Patricia Arquette. Three of the four were totally expected.
Deadlocks.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Patricia Arquette was a hero last night. And, of course, the haters come on, you know, are attaching themselves to her now.
Yeah,
because of her speech.
So why are people hating on her now? Explain to everybody.
Well, because she gave, during her speech, she came out and basically, you know, ended her speech by, you know, making a plea for women, for wage equality between men and women.
Right.
And, of course, she got, you know, a huge shout out there from Meryl Streep, who was standing up, cheering at her. It was kind of awesome. And, of course, it was great. And, you know, I think any right-thinking individual agrees with that. But, you know, of course, you know, you know, anytime anyone dares make a political, you know, any sort of political message at the Oscars, everyone just goes, shut up, celebrity.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was a great speech.
Mm-hmm.
Animated film went to, this was a real surprise to me, Big Hero 6.
Yeah. Remember when I said I don't get angry at the Oscars?
Yeah.
This is the moment I got angry. This is the moment that, you know, because, like, the Keaton thing was more of a disappointment because we were sort of bracing ourselves for that.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't a huge shock. But this, you know, I mean, Colin and I were talking about it earlier tonight, and it was just sort of like the idea that it almost seemed like we're resigned now that if it's going to be Disney or Pixar.
Right,
you know, it's just like, you know, how to Train Your Dragon 2 not reap the benefits of Lego Movie not being nominated?
Absolutely.
I
was completely stunned. When Big Hero 6 went, I was like, what? Because I thought How to Train Your Dragon 2 had it in the bag, and of the ones that were nominated, was by far the best.
Right. Big Hero 6, you know, it was the weakest of the five nominees by far. I think the second half of that movie really takes a giant dip, and Colin is in total agreement with me on that.
Yeah.
It seems like, I mean, I think that made the most money. That made the most money out of all the nominees. So,
cinematography went to Emmanuel Lubezki for Birdman. How often do cinematographers win it back to back?
Good question. They haven't looked that up, but you know, I mean, he won back to back. He probably should have won for Tree of Life a couple years ago too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the funny thing is like, because of that, I picked Robert Yeoman for Grand Budapest on my ballot.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't think they would give it to him 2 years in a row. And
not
that he didn't deserve it, because he does. I mean, it was the best photographed movie of the year was Birdman, no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't think they'd give it to him. And I was really upset that Dick Poop didn't win.
Yeah, that was a disappointment. I was kind of upset there were no Dick Poop references during the thing. Yeah.
All right, hang on, Eric, all right?
Okay.
All right, Eric Childress is with us. We're going over the Academy Awards. We're going to talk more about the Oscars in a little bit as well. I was off yesterday morning, so we'll do a little catching up. We got some audio from the Academy Awards to talk about. We can take your phone calls as well at 312-981-7200. But right now we're going to talk about the Oscars. We'll do a box office report and talk about the new movies as well. Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here. We're doing a special Tuesday morning movie reviews, box office, and Oscar roundup since I took yesterday off. And I want to thank Jen Bosworth for sitting in for me on yesterday. We're talking Academy Awards with Eric Childress, and we're going down the winners. Welcome back, Eric.
Thank you.
Okay, so costume design went to the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah.
And I actually picked Into the Woods. I thought Into the Woods was going to get it.
No, I agree in Budapest. I thought that was going to clean up in the technical categories.
Okay. Directing went to Alejandro Iñárritu for Birdman. And I actually thought Linklater was going to get it, and I thought Boyhood was going to win Best Picture.
Yeah, you did think Boyhood was going to win?
I did.
Yeah, I had both the Birdman, the picture and director. I had both of those, but it was close. I mean, it could have been either way. It could have been one of those split years. There are a lot of people still thinking Linklater could still, you know, get, you know, his Lifetime Achievement Award, basically.
Yeah.
But no, it's, you know, it seems like that the picture, when the guilds speak, when you get the producers and the director guilds to agree. It's pretty, I think it's some like 14 of 17 years that they've agreed.
Yeah.
The both of them end up winning the Oscar. So.
You know, it was, what did you think of, Sean Penn's comments?
Well, you know something, it took me a moment to make the connection. I'm just like, oh, he was in 21 Grand.
Right, right.
That he directed. Because first you hear the comment, and you go, whoa, okay, that's interesting. And then you go, oh, wait, they're buddies.
Right, they're friends.
They're buddies.
They're friends.
Yeah, so of course that was the, you know, there were so many things. If you're, like, on Twitter and all you're just looking for something to get outraged about. There was plenty last night to just, you know, sort of that fake outrage that people have.
Yeah.
And that was one of them. You just like, you know, maybe you don't make a green card reference.
Right.
You know, but he's his buddy. And the thing is that all the stories that I saw today, there are a lot of people doing stupid think pieces. And then some people were just reporting stuff about some of the off-color jokes that were made last night. At the end of all of these pieces, they basically say, oh, and then the person that the joke was made about was asked about it, and they thought it was hilarious.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
No, well, that was the thing. I mean, like, I am one of the – I'm a huge fan of Inarritu's movies in general, all of them. And so when he made that – when Sean Penn made that comment, I laughed.
Yeah.
Because I you know, I remembered him from 21 Grams, and I know that they were close and that they were buddies. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, it's just a friend making an off-color comment, you know, a smart-ass comment that he knows his friend will get.
I'm just wondering how, I mean, because, again, this is something, that, you know, when, you know, they can talk about all they want about the envelopes being sealed and no one knows who wins, but you know precisely who's going to win when the who's presenting Best Picture.
Right.
Pretty much. The last time I can remember where they thought something was going to win Best Picture, and they gave it to an actor to do it that had a connection, was when Michael Douglas came out and announced Gladiator instead of Traffic.
Right.
And, you know, but, you know, it's like, you know, like Barbara Streisand came out to announce Catherine Bigelow as Best Director. You think that was a coincidence? No.
Yeah.
You know, they
didn't
know.
I remember one of the biggest shockers in the past, like 10, 15 years of the Academy Awards was when I think it was Nicholson who announced Crash instead of Brokeback Mountain?
Yes. Yes, it was.
That was one of the first times where I ever went, whoa. Like when I was watching, I was like, whoa.
Didn't everyone think that Crash was going to win at that point?
No, I thought Brokeback Mountain was going to win.
I think I had Crash.
Did you really?
Year.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Okay, because I had Brokeback Mountain all the way.
I mean, that was the one that everyone hated the fact that Crash won. But I think by the end there was enough people thinking that like it was going to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Documentary went to Citizen 4, which by the way was on cable just last night.
It was on HBO tonight.
It was on HBO last night. I'm crazy.
Uh-huh.
Best documentary short subject: Crisis Hotline. Veterans Press 1. Editing went to Whiplash. I couldn't have been happier for that.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, and
they called that one.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is, you know, like I always tell people when they're filling out their ballots, you know, for the pool, whenever you are going to try and guess, because you know, like a lot of people, the technical awards, they're like, I don't know, I don't care. You know,
right.
You're at an Oscar party. What am I? I'm going to guess. Right. I want to win. I want to win $20.
Right.
So, but for editing, I always give the advice to always choose the longest movie.
Yeah.
And that's
I mean, not this year you didn't just have the longest movie. You had the movie with 12 years worth of footage.
Yeah, exactly,
you know, to cull from.
Man, exactly.
So, yeah, so a lot of people were sort of thinking that Boyhood was going to win. And this is here's an interesting stat. I think it's the first time in 34 years that a film has won Best Picture without being nominated for Best Editing.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Best Editing is one of those sort of categories that jumps out when people are sort of trying to figure out what's going to win Best Picture.
Yeah.
And the Best Picture winner is almost always in that mix. So, you know,
it was funny. Did you see the Independent Spirit Awards?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
So the joke that they did, that Fred Armisen did, where they kicked the editor of
Birdman
out. It's like, what are there, two cuts in that movie? Get out of here.
Right, get out of here.
It was very funny.
Yes, it was.
Foreign language film of the year went to Ida. Makeup went to Grand Budapest Hotel, which I was shocked by.
No, that became a favorite, surprisingly enough. I thought Guardians of the Galaxy was going to pull it out.
So did I.
But I guess, you know, they made Tilda Swinton look old, so.
Right. Original score went to the Grand Budapest Hotel. It should have went to Hans Zimmer. I
mean, that was a should have went to Interstellar, but
please.
I think that was a shock.
Yeah.
A lot of people were sort of thinking, because the Spla was nominated twice in the category.
Yeah.
And he's never won before, so that was, you know, that was kind of nice to see him pick up something.
Oh, he's never won? Really?
He had never won before.
Wow.
8 nominations, first win.
Wow.
Yeah.
Music, the song went to Glory, no shocker there. Yeah. Production design, Grand Budapest Hotel, no shocker there.
Yeah.
Animated short film. What won the animated short film? I don't have my
name. Feast.
Oh, Feast did, okay.
Feast, which actually, they announced that before Big Hero 6 got nominated, and or before it won. Feast was the short that played in front of Big Hero 6. Mm. Yeah, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Live action short film went to The Phone Call. Sound editing went to American Sniper. Sound mixing went to Whiplash. Visual effects went to Interstellar.
Yeah, so we got one.
Yeah. adapted screenplay went to Theory of Everything.
And, no, Imitation Game.
Oh, I'm sorry, Imitation Game. I get the I get those two mixed up.
You get the same. Yeah, it's the same movie. The same
and
movie.
Then original screenplay went to Birdman.
Yeah.
So, an interesting night. I thought the show was a little bit long, but I thought there were a lot of good speeches. I thought Neil Patrick Harris did a really good job, and overall was not disappointing. Oscars, and you know what? A really great movie won Best Picture.
Yeah, and I didn't realize how long the ceremony was until it was over. So that,
well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think that is a good thing. I mean, when it was all over, it was like 11, it was like 12 after 11 or something like that. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. No, I felt it.
Yeah.
I felt it.
I didn't feel it. Yeah.
I was like, yeah, this is going on for a pretty long time, man.
And so. Yet, how many, I mean, they didn't really have, I mean, they had the one tribute to Sound of Music.
Yeah.
You know, did they have any big montages throughout the, I don't think so.
No. And then now, and again, of course, the controversy now is that they left Joan Rivers.
Yes.
Off the In Memoriam.
Right.
They always forget somebody, don't they? Isn't it every year when they do the In Memoriam, isn't there somebody that they forget and then people get mad?
Yeah, I'd like to know who's in charge of that committee, because they managed to get Louis Jordan in there, who just died last week.
Yeah, he just died, yeah.
Yeah, and you would think that Joan Rivers, I mean, that was January, was it not?
Yeah.
So it's pretty recent.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, it's not that far away from memory. I mean, I knew where I was. I was at Sundance when it happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'd like to know who's in charge of that. And yeah.
All right. Well, that's the Oscars, and I'm going to talk more about it and play some clips a little bit later on. But let's get to the to your box office report that you put together here. 50 Shades of Grey was your number one again.
Yeah.
But it dropped off. Huge. How much did it drop off?
73%.
Wow.
Huge.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, obviously you couldn't maintain that kind of pace, right?
No. Oh, absolutely not. But, yeah. I mean, usually for a big movie like that, usually somewhere in the low 60s, high 50s is usually, I mean, it was 85 million, so, or 83 million, whatever it was. So, yeah, it had nowhere to go but down. Mm-hmm. But they would have been much happier if it was more like 30-some million.
Yeah. So it made 23.2 million, and its total in 2 weeks is 130. That's nothing to sneeze at.
Nothing to sneeze at, considering it's 400 million worldwide right now.
God.
Yeah.
Wow. Number two, Kingsman, The Secret Service, 17.0, bringing its total up to 67.1. Now, is that considered a hit?
Not yet. I mean, it's got a pretty hefty budget on it. I think it's just getting released overseas. So it's doing fairly well. It's on pace. We'll just say.
All right. SpongeBob. SpongeBob has a square pants.
Yes.
15.5 million, bringing its total up to 125 million. Has it blown the first movie out of the water?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the first movie only did 85.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so it's doing quite well.
All right. Number four, McFarland USA, 11.3 million. It's interesting what you write about here about what's happened to Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
I mean, has he opened a big movie, I mean, in the past 15 years?
Not with him on top. No. No, I mean, the biggest, I mean, you look at his list, he's only had four movies that have ever made $100 million. But as I marked there, you have, you know, a number of those hits from the, you know, mid to late 80s that with inflation would have been 100
yeah.
million. Your Untouchables, JFK, Field of Dreams, Bull Durham even, and Waterworld, of course. But since Waterworld, you know, like $11 million, that's like his ceiling. That's kind of like, that's right, you know, his average.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. And then number five was The Duff, which made $11 million, which you hated.
Hated.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about that and go through some more of the box office here. It's Eric Childress is with us. Colin wasn't able to join us on this Tuesday morning. And we're going to talk more about the Oscars as well and play some more audio coming up a little bit later on. Let's take a quick break here. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You can check us out on Twitter and Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected. We are talking movies with Eric Childress. It's a special Tuesday morning edition. I took yesterday off because of the Academy Awards, and we're going to talk more Oscars and stuff like that. But right now we're going down the box office and talking about the new movies. And here is Eric.
Hello.
All right. Your top five movies real quick again. 50 Shades of Grey, 23.2 million. Kingsman, 17 million. SpongeBob movie, 15.5. McFarlane USA with 11.3 million. And The Duff with 11 million. Number six, American Sniper with 9.6 million. Number seven, whoa. Hot Tub Time Machine with $5.8 million. Good
yeah.
Lord.
Yeah.
Wow. That tanked.
Mm-hmm.
And eight is Jupiter Ascending with $3.6 million. Oh my God, it's only made $39.5 million.
Yeah.
Number nine is The Imitation Game with $2.5 million. Number 10 is Paddington with $2.2 million. What do you make of Hot Tub Time Machine 2?
That no one cared.
Yeah.
Like, that everyone, I think, after 5 years completely forgot that movie existed. And even though it was very heavily advertised, especially. You see a sequel and you see the star of the original movie nowhere near it.
Yeah.
You know, that's always kind of a red flag.
Well, you know, I mean, they advertised the hell out of this thing. I mean, it was, you know, whatever. I mean, all the channels that I watch,
mm-hmm.
like every 2 seconds there was a Hot Tub Time Machine 2 commercial.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
it wasn't possible for me to care less. I hated the first movie. I thought the first
I did
movie
too.
Was terrible.
I did too. But and
the funniest thing in the first movie is Crispin Glover.
Yeah, that's all I remember.
Yeah, pretty much, man.
I think he gets his arm cut off at one point.
Right.
I think that's the only time
well,
I laughed in the entire movie.
Him and they had the dude. What's the dude's name? Who's the bad guy in Karate Kid and all the other
Zabka?
Yeah,
William
so his cameo was the best thing in the movie. Like when he showed
yeah.
up in the movie, that was the only time where I was like, oh,
right,
you know.
But like him having him in that movie was sort of symbolic of just how little they actually did with that movie.
Right.
Like, I mean, that it's, you know, you got Cusack in that movie who has sworn off all of his 80s work.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Like, anything pre-say anything he won't talk about.
Right.
And, you know, you put him in this movie to basically, to sort of mock that period, and you don't do anything with it. It was a terrible script. It wasn't funny. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, I must have done. I mean, the movie did $50 million, the first one,
yeah.
And it must have done fairly well on video for them to come up with. I mean, the new one only cost like $14 million.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know how much that was Cusack related, but you know, when you're advertising this movie and all, you know, you're basically advertising is the time machine, and your stars are Rob Corddry, Craig Robinson, and Clark Duke. With a, you know, a supporting role by Adam Scott, you know.
Yeah.
No offense to a couple of those guys who I think are really funny, but it's just like, who wanted to see that?
No, nobody. Clearly,
nope.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did you think of McFarlane USA?
I didn't see it.
I didn't either.
Yeah. I hear decent things.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as Disney underdog stories go, I hear it's much better than Million Dollar Arm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something. And, you know, I mean, it's Costner, so I will watch it.
Yeah.
Just for that.
All right. Tell us why you hated The Duff so much.
Oh, good God. It's not funny.
Tell everybody about The Duff.
Okay. Well, The Duff is the high school comedy, or purports to be, stars Mae Whitman, who people may know from, I think she's on Parenthood, and most people probably know her as her from Arrested Development. George Michael's on again, off again Christian girlfriend.
Yep. That's what I know her from.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's also in Scott Pilgrim versus the World. She's one of the ex-girlfriends too. But
that movie left my consciousness almost immediately after seeing it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. but I think I'd rather watch it than the Duff. But so she plays in sort of an unpopular teenage girl who yet has two very attractive popular friends in school. And one day, the boy next door that used to be friends with her, but now has become the hip jock and whatnot, informs her that she's actually a Duff, and Duff is an acronym that stands for Designated Ugly Fat Friend. Not a very nice term.
Yeah, that's nice.
But yeah, especially considering when you look at Mae Whitman now, she's not ugly or fat.
Right. Yeah.
So the premise is already flawed, but. The more into what the label is, it's basically saying that you are sort of the lesser of your group. You're sort of the least attractive person in your group, and especially if you're hanging around with very popular people, you are sort of the conduit. You are the person that people will go to and try to talk up and be nice to, so they can get into the good graces of your hotter friends, basically. So the movie is about her discovering that, she's thought of in this way, or she thinks she is. So she detaches herself from her girlfriends right away and tries to, prop herself up to make herself feel better about herself. So we're not a half hour into the movie, and she's already getting the fashion montage sequence.
God.
And she's got boy next door. He's sort of makes an agreement with her to sort of help her. So he's there and he's trying to prop her up and whatnot, and she becomes kind of just she detaches from her girlfriends for basically no other reason, because they don't really think of her that way.
Right.
But because she thinks of that they do, she basically just blows them off in a scene that I'm just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
With that scene, and throughout the rest of the course of the movie, if you're going to do a positive message about cyberbullying, a lot of the cyberbully stuff in the movie is played for laughs in a way that really sort of put me off. And if you're going to do a positive message about a girl's self-image, it probably shouldn't end with one, fashion montages, and two, getting the guy in the end. And just like, the message of the movie is completely off, and it's not funny. It's just not funny.
Got it.
To boot.
All
right. So I hated just about every minute of this movie.
Okay, so that's the Duff. All right. Well, we got Colin coming back next week. We'll talk about all the other new movies. What do we got next week?
We got Focus. We got the new Will Smith movie.
Yep.
We got the Lazarus Effect.
Oh
with,
yeah.
Mark Duplass and Olivia Wilde.
Yeah, this is a zombie movie.
Kind of.
Yeah. Well,
kind of coming back to dead.
They're bringing they're bringing people back to life. So that.
Yes. Yeah. I guess so. Yeah. Technically, it's a zombie movie.
Yeah. All right.
You're right.
All right, Eric. Well, thanks for your thoughts on the Oscars and all that cool stuff. And and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Thanks.
All right, Eric Childress, and I want to thank Eric and Colin for joining us every week, and we'll do it again back on our regular Monday morning shift. We'll take a quick break here. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN.